This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We thank you for joining us today and invite you to return every Sunday at this time for worship with us.
Jesus has taught that Christianity may call for persecution. We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We invite you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends in Christ, it is Pentecost Sunday, the third major festival of the church year. It is always celebrated 50 days after Easter, remembering that unique manifestation of the Holy Spirit when he came in a different way in the city of Jerusalem to bestow power on those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read the whole story, review it if you want to, by turning to the second chapter of Acts. But for time's sake, I am going to try to summarize it as best we can. You'll recall that there were a lot of people who were in Jerusalem. They were there to celebrate a religious festival. And then there was a strange manifestation of the Holy Spirit. As tongues of fire, it appeared, lighted on the disciples, and they began to speak in tongues. It was at that time that the people who had come from thereabouts began to wonder, what in the world is this all about? Because we hear this message spoken in our own language. Somebody trying to make light of it said, oh, they're just drunk. Don't bother with them. The message is of no value. But Peter, the disciple of our Lord, who had now been anointed in a very special way with the Holy Spirit, rose up and began to preach his famous sermon of Pentecost. During that time he said, no, these people are not drunk, but I want to remind you that there wasn't one here by the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Savior of the world. But evil men and women took him and saw to it that he was crucified. He died at the cross of Calvary. He was entombed, but on the third day he rose again, winning the victory over sin, death, and the devil, and offering to any person who confessed their sins and believed in him complete forgiveness and the assurance that life in heaven could be theirs. When the people heard what Peter had to say, and there was much more to the sermon than this, it says that they were cut to the heart. And they turned to Peter and said, "What shall we do?" And Peter offered these words, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." At that particular time, the church came into being, made up of that body of believers who were baptized into the name of the Christ and had received that gift of forgiveness and the assurance that they belonged to God. They were given a great challenge, and that was to go out into the world and proclaim the good news. There they could make people understand how much God really did love them and what blessings the kingdom of God and those therein have made to so many during these 2,000 years. For example, as the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed among the people from the kingdom of God, we see the fellowship that we have with believers, to know that we are God's forever, and that one day we will live with Him in the kingdom of heaven. We understand the value of the human being. Why is it that Western civilization in so many ways is quite different? Because you understand how important that individual is. They knew that God loved them, that God loved them as individuals, and they were to bring that individual love in the name of Christ. They looked at people and saw their talents. And they said, over these 2,000 years, those talents have got to be developed. And marvelous things have happened in this Western civilization through some of the great institutional places that we have here in this part of the world. They saw that people needed healing, and they developed medical science, surgeries, and all the rest that went along with it, medicines. And now our longevity can extend almost too far sometimes, we think. Conquering illness up to a point. God had used those in the kingdom of God to bring these tremendous blessings to individuals. To realize that I am not just a number in this world, but that I belong to God. I am His child. And in His eyes, sinner that I am, in Christ, I am precious and important. Now that's a part of the kingdom of God, a very brief summary. And we deal with that kingdom of God nearly every day in our preaching. There are those joyous times when we can just thank God that we are His. And He has chosen us to bring this message of salvation to the world of which we are a part. But there does have to be emphasized, too, that there is another side to being in the kingdom of God. And that, for example, is sometimes we may have to suffer. Jesus said that in Luke 9:23, "If anyone would come after me, he must take up his cross and follow me." If we do not want to take up that cross, then there is not much place for us in the kingdom of God. For in that kingdom, we will be a verbal witness for the Lord. And sometimes that does not meet with the goodwill of our society, and that's where the suffering comes in. The St. Paul uttered the same message. "For it has been granted to you," he told the Philippians, "on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for Him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. In other words, there is another side of the kingdom. Now, in Western civilization, we have moved to the place where we want to try to ease it just a bit, to make it easier and more appealing for our culture and our society. And so at times we have chipped away at the biblical message and dealt with that of having to suffer rather quietly. We have either adjusted the scriptures or we have ignored them often, and therefore people do not really understand that to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you must take up your cross and walk with him. Since my retirement, I have had the opportunity to spend more time sitting in my study and talk and wondering about the church. And what is the future for the church? Well, we have this great assurance from the Word of God that the Savior said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." But he never said that it wouldn't go through difficult, difficult times. Recently, I received a book entitled Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's one of the most wonderful books that I think I have ever read in my life, authored by Erich Medax, and it was published only in 2010. Many of you know the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a prominent theologian and a dedicated pastor. Ultimately, he became a martyr for Christ. Following World War I, Germany was in need of a strong leader. Many in Germany felt that in the early days of Hitler's leadership, he might possibly be the individual who could lead that nation to the place where they would be able to make some kind of a contribution to the world of which they were a part. They needed everything, and the League of Nations had not left them in very good shape. So when this man by the name of Hitler that we denounce in every way came along and didn't reveal who he really was and what his mission was, there were many people in Germany, probably in other parts of the world, who thought this may be just the person that Germany needs. And so he carefully worked his way into the society of his day there in Germany. And it wasn't long before he was beginning to get a grip on the hearts of the people. However, there was a man in Germany by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was just a young man, and he realized that he didn't know it all. But he was a man who could sense that Hitler was up to no good. His mother was a dear believer in the Lord Jesus, assembled her 8 children day in and day out, read them the scriptures, and sang some of the hymns with them. This is where Dietrich got his early training. His father was, by his own confession, an agnostic. But never once did he hinder his wife from telling the children all of the great truths that she believed in her heart that belonged to the Christian faith. Finally, Dietrich Bonhoeffer had to decide what he was going to do with his life, and he chose to study theology. He began in a smaller university and was finally moved on to the University of Berlin. His father was a psychiatrist and the head of the neurology department in Berlin. So they were a family of great intellect, and probably of some means too, for Diedrich never talks about lacking in money. Now, let me quote a bit from this marvelous book. In 1935, as he embraced his call to be director of the Confessional Church and its seminary, Bonhoeffer's relationship with that group of people grew very awkward. He became a lightning rod, they said, for controversy, both inside and outside of the Confession Church. By this time, you have to remember that Germany was not only going with their traditional church, that it more or less made some changes that met with Hitler's approval. But the Confessional Church was a church that had always stood on the confessions that they had had there since the days of the Reformation. They held to the Bible as being the Word of God, and it could not be tampered with. To that, Diedrich Bonhoeffer was true. And so he tried to say to these people, the Scriptures, without works, tell us faith is dead. It's from James. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. That's from Hebrews. Bonhoeffer knew that a person had two kind of eyes. They had the eyes of faith, and then they had the eyes which were the physical eyes. With the eyes of faith, they could see truths that the eyes of the physical nature could not see. But after a while, when they saw with the eyes of faith things that really were wrong, they were forced to open their eyes and see that what was found in the eyes of faith was true. So they opened their eyes. Bonhoeffer had looked at Germany through the eyes of faith, and he saw what could happen to the land that he loved so much. And one thing was that he knew that it was sin, as far as God was concerned. It was sin to kill the Jews. So when he opened his eyes and looked at it through the physical, he realized that had to be stopped. There was a moral component here. To see that it was against God's will to persecute the church was absolutely within the rights of the Word of God. Thou shalt not kill. Bonhoeffer strove to see what God wanted to show, and then do what God asked in response. This was being the obedient Christian, the one who was called to be a disciple, the one who was a part of this kingdom of God, and the one who could bear suffering in one kind or another to be loyal to what Christ really wants, whether it was in the 20th century when Bonhoeffer lived, or it was earlier. Cheap grace was never a part of the Word of God. The Word of God knows of grace that can cost you everything, including your life. When I begin to take a look at that life of Diedrich Bonhoeffer, I think, what would America be like? The church that we are in America today, if we were faced with a situation that they had during the days of Hitler, how would we respond? I wonder if a lot of us would not say, some who are very committed, there to say, to Christ, well, we've got to do a little adjusting around here. We've got to get out of this mess. And so we better be quiet. Apathy. Go along the best way that we can. We did not want to look through the eyes of faith and see that so many things are not exactly right today. But better be quiet. We need peace. Whether that's the persecuting of the Jews or some other things that are contrary to the Word of God today. Dare we take a look at our church through the eyes of faith and then look at it through the eyes of our own head so that we can decide what to do as far as God's Word is concerned. In the church, in the country, the land of America today, the land that we truly love, we have people who are a part of the church who decide that if anything offends the rational mind, we better try to make some adjustments so that we will not lose them. Bonhoeffer would say, but more than that, Jesus Christ would say, you cannot do that and be a part of the kingdom of God. God gave us his moral law, which reveals his will. It is not a world in which there is no truth, or that all truth is relative. God's word has spoken. Ten Commandments that brings us to our knees and convicts us of our sin, and then gives us the gospel to tell us that it can be forgiven. Here are the voices. Where do we stand? Is this being proclaimed regularly from the pulpits of our churches, law and gospel? Are we willing to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord? Do we do this in our everyday life when there are those opportunities to say a good word for Jesus Christ? This is what it is to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. I tell you, my friend, it is important that we deal a great deal with the kingdom of God, the church, of all denominations, anyone who is a baptized believer in Christ. But we also have to know that while there are joys and peace and understanding and love that comes from that kingdom, to be a part of that kingdom that we celebrate today may call for a bit of suffering. Amen.
Oh.
Come, Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts with love and understanding of your word. We have seen through Dietrich Bonhoeffer that you are willing to give strength and leadership to make the voice of God heard. We thank you for Dietrich Bonhoeffer, but we pray that you may make us at least little Bonhoeffers to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May God's love shine upon you in the coming week. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry funded entirely through the generosity of our listeners. Because of your belief in the importance of our mission, we have been the vehicle carrying the good news of Jesus Christ to thousands of listeners on 19 radio stations across the country. To support Christian Crusaders, please call 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Or you can direct your gift to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. John 3:3 says, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." But what does it mean to be born again? You can find out in the first volume of Basic Biblical Truths, the DVD video set of sermons by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. In this video, Reverend Larson talks about how lives are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. To order, please call 1-888-693-2484, or on your computer, please visit christiancrusaders.org. Each volume in the set is available for a suggested donation of just $10. To request a CD or a printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth since 1936.